Tonight I want to discuss from the 14th chapter of John this matter of the many mansions that Jesus talks about. I have a view of this and developed it only in the last few months in studying this chapter as different from those that I ordinarily be. In chapter 13, at this particular time, so in this 13th chapter, he is seeking now to encourage them, to stimulate, to stir them, not to be discouraged over that. So he begins with this statement, "Let not your heart be troubled." Apparently they were troubled, but "let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Now then, you believe what God has said, you've believed that all along, you've trusted that. Now then, as you believe in him, believe also in me. What I'm about to do and what I'm about to say is intended to give encouragement unto you. Now notice what he says. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For lo, I go to prepare a place for it. If I go and prepare a place, I come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I want to look first at this expression, the Father's house. Now what is the Father's house that Jesus is talking about? Well, we have three different things, that three different points in which he talks about his house. And first of all is heaven, where he dwells. In Psalm 11 and verse 4, Jehovah is in his holy temple. Jehovah, his throne, is in heaven. Then in Matthew 6 and verse 9, along many other passages, Jesus taught the disciples to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." So that indicates that the dwelling place of God is heaven. That is, if this word house, my Father's house, indicates the dwelling place of God. Now that's first. Second, God's house is spoken of in the gospel as the temple. Now the temple is referred to as God's house. Let me just read two or three passages, if I may. I'll read them from Matthew. Matthew, the 12th chapter, and verse 4. We have this statement here concerning his house. "Know ye not that David," talking about David here, "when he entered into the temple, the house of God, made the showbread, which was not lawful for an individual to eat." Right in verse 4, "But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and ate the showbread, which it was not lawful for him to eat?" Right, the showbread of the house of God there is the temple. Now David entered into the temple there, because it was the tent at that time. It was the old tabernacle for the temple had not yet been built. But it was called the temple. It was the temple of God where they met with God there. So he entered into the house of God and ate the showbread which it was not lawful for him to eat. Then also in the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew, and I think it's about verse down here about verse 12 or something like that. Yes, "And Jesus entered into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold the doves, and he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Well, that again, we're talking about the temple. So here at least are two, and the same thing accounts, both accounts are found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Right, so all of them recognize then the temple as the house of God. Then also the house of God is spoken of as the family of God. What is a family, a household here? In Hebrews the 3rd chapter and verses 5 and 6, where it speaks there of Moses, who was a servant in God's house, in his house. That would be in the family or the nation there. Then in the 6th verse, "But Christ as a son over his house, whose house are we? Right, that would be the individuals here. So here then, in those two passages, and you can read others, 1 Timothy 5, 4 rather, and verse 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13 and 14, long there, 15, 14 and 15. Paul said, I write these things unto you that you may know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Right here, the church is the family of God. So you have God's house, spoken of in the Bible as heaven, spoken of also as his the temple, and the family. Well, what is it in 14 and 2? Right, when we're looking at this 14 and 2, what is it? Well, we know that it's not the temple, so it's either heaven here, or it is the family of God. Now, it could be either one, according to that. So when we jump at the conclusion that when you talk about my Father's house, if that's heaven, it could be something else, don't you see? It could be the family of God. Don't you keep that in mind? Now, let's look at the word house for just a moment. There are two Greek words, oikos and oikia, and for house here. Now, let's look at this for a moment that John uses. Here is O-I-K-I-A. Now, of course, that we're not interested in Greek except here that John uses this word five times. Now, he used it two times of a dwelling place. He used it two times of a family. Right? So here, then, is a dwelling place, a dwelling. I'll look at the passage in a moment. And also, here is a family or a household. Right, now we're looking, and then you have John 14 and verse 2, my Father's house, oikia. Let's look first of all at this matter of the house here as a family in 4 and verse 53. Doesn't matter which one, but in John now, we're talking just about how John uses this word. In John 4 and verse 53, we read here of this nobleman whose son Jesus healed, you remember, at a distance. We studied this some time ago in verse 53. Now, when he heard here, the hour when Jesus said unto thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Now, what would be the house or kill that? That'd be his family, wouldn't it? Right? So his family believed that in that. Then you have another one in 835, rather. And the son, he says, abideth not in the house forever. The Son abideth forever. So here twice John uses this word oikia as the family. The family here of the nobleman and the family in which the servant was a member of that house. Then also it is used of a dwelling. Now this is used twice also of a dwelling. In the 11th chapter, here we studied a while back where Mary and Martha were in the house. The 11th chapter, and drop down to verse 31. Now the Jews then who were in her, with her in the house and were consoling her. Right? That is Martha and Mary. Mary at this time. Martha had gone and was coming back. Right? Now they were in the house. Well, what would that be? That would be the dwelling. Now look also at the 12th chapter in verse 3. When here it is, when Mary broke the alabaster cruse of ointment and put it on the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet. Now notice here, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So here then twice you have it family. Now then twice you have it a dwelling place. Now then what is it in 14 and verse 2? So here again, now when it says the house of God, is he talking about that these are the only five times that John uses that particular word? Right, so now, is he talking about the family of God or the dwelling of God? Well, as you can easily see, it could be either one. For here, God's house is heaven or the family or the temple. Well, we eliminate the temple. It wouldn't be that. Not talking about that. Now, here then, the oikia is the family of God. I mean, a family or it's a dwelling place. Now, here he's talking about the house of God. What's he talking about? He's talking about the family of God or the house of God. Now notice that in my Father's house are many mansions. Well, is he talking about where God dwells, or is he talking about the family of God? Let's not make a decision yet. Just follow me in what I'm saying. That when he speaks of the Father's house, it could be where God dwells, or it could be his family. Because as John used the word house, twice it's a dwelling place, twice it's a family. Now then the fifth time is where he used it here of God's house, so which is it? Now, let's look at this word mansions. When we use the word mansion, what do we think about? We think about a great, elaborate building with many rooms in it, and a very elegant place there in which to live, a very fine place. But that's not what the word really means. The footnote is the correct meaning of it here, and that footnote is a dwelling place. In my Father's house are many abiding places. Now this word, this is from a Greek word here, mone. M-O-N-E, but E is a long E, it's so pronounced mone. Now that's the word here. Now this occurs and translated mansions here, or dwelling places. But if that word occurs only twice in the New Testament, both of them in John. Here he used it here in verse 2, and it's translated abiding places here. Abiding places is better than mansions here. And many abiding places. Now the other time that it's used is in verse 23. Drop down to it and look at it here. Where he says here in this 14th now. And verse 23 is right. Now when he says here, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now I want to come back to that later. We'll only mention it now. So here it's abiding places. Here is we'll make our abode with him. Now the thing that started me to study on this was the fact that this word mone, translated abiding mansions or abiding places, and our abode with him, that's the only two times that the word occurs in the New Testament. And both of them, in the 14th chapter, both of them now are in relationship to something that Jesus is going to do. Now let's look at the next. So we have this question here then, on this, what is it? Now there's another word for abide. Now that word is M-E-N-O. Now this word meno, and that's a long O also, meno. That word occurs 40 times and is translated by a number of things. It's translated by these different words here. Let me notice it. By abide or remain or dwell or continue or tarry or endure it. All of those translate this particular word, meno. Right, then, Arndt and Gingrich in their lexicon, they translate it to remain, I don't define it, to remain, stay, live, dwell, or lodge. Now this word occurs 40 times in the book of John. 40 times in the Gospel of John alone besides others. And it means to abide or to remain or to tarry, any of those things. But now, here's the interesting thing. Why does John use this word here for abiding place and abide when he had this word that he used 40 times of an individual abiding or stopping or staying at a particular place? There's bound to have been some significance to this particular word here that he used here that is not included in this word, or that this word does not include, that the two words have a different significance of abiding. So he uses this word twice then, mone, twice here, abiding place once, or abode the other time. Now let's leave that for the moment. Leave that and let's read the rest of the chapter and look at the context now of what Jesus is talking about. Before I do that, look at verse 3. Notice verse 3 here. And he said, if I go, I go and prepare a place for you. Well, many man, you were not so I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. Well, now what does that mean? I go to prepare a place for you. Is he going to prepare heaven for us? Is he going to prepare a place in heaven for the apostles? Does he mean I'm going to go and make possible an avenue into the presence of God for all of you? I go to prepare a place for you. Well, that somehow or other never did satisfy me. Now, what are the mansions? Well, if it's the church, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you in the church. Or if it's heaven, prepare a place for you in heaven. But let's just leave that on the back burner for a few moments now. Now, look at his next expression. Now, he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now notice up here in verse 33, it said, I go, you seek me, and I said, you'll not find, for whither I go, you cannot come. So now you can't come where I'm going. But he says here, I'm going to come unto you. I'm going to prepare a place, and I'm going to come unto you. Right? So that where I am, you may be also. I can't go with him now, but after a while, but he's coming back, and I'll be with you. Now that's an interesting thought, is that the contrast in that particular thing here. Right? And now he said, there you may be also. So I'm going to go and prepare a place. I'm going to come back to you. I want you to keep that I'm coming back again in mind. For we're going to notice that again over here in verse 18. I will not leave you desolate. I come unto you. Then down here in verse 23, my Father and I will come unto you. So here I'm going, I'm going to come. Now, there's this, I'm going to go and come. Well, we've always thought of that as what? Now look at, I go, I come. We've thought about that as his return now. He's going to return to heaven, and then he's going to come back in his final or second coming. But is that what he's talking about? Is it necessary that I make that his final coming? Then I'm going to come and receive you the way I am, you may be older. Now all of that's true. I want you to remember this, that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Jesus went back to the Father. He's going to come back. He's going to receive us unto himself and deliver us the kingdom up to God the Father, and the church will be delivered unto him. Now, all of that's true. But is that what John is talking about? Is that what's in his mind in this 14th chapter? That's the question. It's not a question of whether or not what we've always taught is true, but did this passage teach what we have made it teach? That's the challenge. That's challenged me in the last few months in the study of this chapter, this passage. Well, now let me go on from that then. And so that raised the question now, is this then, what does this mean? Is this the second coming? Or is it something else that he has in mind here? Or is this the final coming? Or is it another coming? What? Now it could be this. Did he arose, he came to them after his resurrection. Well, he's talking about the resurrection. He came unto them in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about that. What? And he's going to come back in his final coming. Is he talking about that? So you have a question here. In fact, these three or four verses here raise these very serious questions to me. And that the questions are, is this Father's house, is that heaven, or the temple, or the family? Here then, the house that he uses there, is that a dwelling or a family? Because it's used of a dwelling and a family twice each in John. What does John 14 mean then? Right now down here, here's Monet. We'll come back to that. But here is this Mino, and I go and I come. Now is that his return to heaven and his second coming? What is that? So these passages have raised questions in my mind that I think that chapter itself, the context, is going to resolve. So let's leave that now on the burner for just a moment and move on now from there. Now then he said, and whither I go, you know the way. Now Thomas saith unto the Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How know we the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I want you to notice this. No man comes unto the Father now. No man comes unto the Father for the eternal home except through Jesus Christ. I come to the Father only through him. So I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Then Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said, if I have been so long time with thee, Philip, dost thou not know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and I know this? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The word that I say unto you, I speak not from myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works. Now, that's an important statement also. Now, notice how many times he said believe. Believest thou that I am in the Father? Now, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the 11 apostles. Now, when he says greater works than these shall you do than I've done, he's not talking to you and me. I don't do greater works than Christ did. The apostles did. They performed the same miracles, the miracles of healing of the sick, restoring health to individuals, raising the dead. You remember Peter raised the dead, Paul raised a person from the dead. So we have them performing those. But what were the greater works? It was that of restoring people to the Father through the gospel of Christ. You're going to do a greater work. You're going to do these works I did, all right, your apostle. But a greater work than that. You're going to redeem people through the gospel, through that which I have done, by going back to the Father. I go back to the Father. I present the sacrifice. The doorway is open for all individuals to come to the Father through the gospel. Now that's going to be your work. That's your job. So he says here, you're going to do greater works than I do. Now moving on to the next verse. Notice what he goes on. Now he said, believe me. Now I know that four times the Lord said, four times, believe me, or believest thou. So now, back here he said, believe in God, believe also in me. Now, believe what I'm saying to you. He's addressing the apostles. Now he goes on to say, and ask in my name. I believe, I've preached on prayer here so many times that you know what I believe on it. I believe that we can ask anything consistent with the will of God. But now this is directed to the apostles. I'm leaving you with a responsibility. I'm leaving you equipped to meet that responsibility. You're going to do greater works than I do. You're going to ask of the Father, and whatever you ask, he's going to do it for you. So that's, remember when you read that. A lot of these people read that and say, now you see, God said that, but he didn't do it. I asked for this or that, and he didn't do it. Well, he wasn't talking to you in the first place. Talking to the apostles there, preparing them for it going away. I've got to go, when I learn what pertains to me in this matter, I go to what the apostles who represented the Christ told me that God would do. Well, there's so many passages that it almost comes to that conclusion, but whatever I ask in faith, whatever I ask believing, whatever I ask consistent with his will, don't you see? Now that will is expressed in the apostles. So moving on now, if you shall, I read that, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now note that word another, I'll look at it in a moment, that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, neither know him, you know him, because he abideth with you and shall be in you. Now let us look at that word another. Now the Greeks had two words for another. One of them was the word allos, A-L-L-O-S. That meant another of the same kind. And another word, heteros. Heteros, now that's another of a different kind. Let me illustrate. Now suppose I have an apple. I put another piece of fruit here, that is another apple, so I say, well, I'm going to put another piece of fruit by. I would use the word aloes for another apple, same kind. Now if I have an apple and I'm going to put an orange, I use the word heteros. I'm putting another piece of fruit by the side of that apple. That would be heteros. Now Jesus used the word aloes. I'll send you another comforter. That is, another in his stead. Now he'd been with them. I'm going away. I'll send you another. Now we'll talk about that Sunday night or two from now. We'll talk about that. I'm going to send you another comforter that'll be with you forever, whom the world can't receive, but you receive him. That's the Holy Spirit. Now look at the next expression. Another comforter, one of the same kind. One like Jesus. That of the same divine deity of Jesus. Now notice what he said. I will not leave you desolate. I come unto you. Now that word desolate is from the Greek word orthanos, from which our word orphan comes. I will not leave you orphans. I'll not leave you desolate. I'll come unto you. Now let's look at that back here with verse 3 back here. And if I go and prepare a place for it, I come again. Now here he promises to come. Now here he says, I will not leave you desolate. I come unto you. How am I coming? I'm coming in the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit another comforter. You also read that word is paraclete or parakletos. Now you find that in the first John there. The Holy Spirit here is the paraclete. But John says there that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. That's the same word that he used of the comforter, a paraclete here. Jesus is also a paraclete. He is also a comforter. Jesus is also a paraclete. He is also a comforter. He is also an advocate as the Holy Spirit was. So what the Holy Spirit was to do, John says that Jesus does. He comes as a comforter, as an advocate, as a paraclete, which the Holy Spirit was. So when he says another, and Jesus said, I come, I'm convinced that I come in the person of the Holy Spirit. So when he comes, when the Spirit came, that was Jesus coming, because Jesus said in Matthew 28 and 20, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. How was Jesus with them to the end of the world? In the Spirit that he sent unto them, whom they received, he was abiding with them. Now look further. Yet a little while, and the world beholdeth me no more, but you behold me, because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now I know you're going to know that. You're going to know that I'm in the Father. Now where am I? I'm in the Father. Look at it further. And you're in me, and I in you. Now that is a relationship that's going to result from Jesus coming. I'm going to the Father, then I'm going to come again. So I think that coming in back here in verse 3 is not his second coming. I mean the final coming. I think that's his coming unto them in the person of the Holy Spirit, in which he will continue with them. Now look a little further. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Now to manifest is to appear or to show yourself. Is to show yourself. I will manifest myself. I'll show myself unto you. All right? Brother Judas not Iscariot saith unto him, Lord, what is come to pass that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? All right? Now back here, the Holy Spirit is coming. The world cannot receive. You receive it. I'm going to manifest myself unto you, but not to the world. So if the Spirit came to them and not to the world, and Jesus manifested himself to them and not to the world, then how did he do that? He manifested himself unto them and came unto them in the Holy Spirit. Now I'm coming to the point that my whole lesson is to develop this one point, that although there's others important. Now notice, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. Right? Now back here, I come again unto you, verse 3. Here in verse 18, I come unto you. Now here, the Father and I will come unto that man and make our abode with him. Now there you have, in that verse now, this word abode here, that you had up here in Monet, here many abiding places here, and now then, here we'll make our abode with him. What then, am I suggesting that this may possibly mean? I've never read this from anybody else. I'm always afraid of any original idea of mine. I'm always afraid of it. But I'm not so afraid of this as I might have been, because I've studied a good while before I tried to present it to you. But now, in my Father's house, if we interpret that as family, which we can, as I've showed here, it can be the heaven or this or the family of God. Now if I interpret this house here, my Father's house, to be the family of God, Then in my Father's house or his family are many abiding places. Now the apostles had fussed and argued about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. You remember we pointed out last Sunday night. Who would be the greatest in the kingdom? Now Jesus is saying there's a place in my Father's family for every one of you. There is an abiding place for every individual in the family of God. Now, I interpret that in the light of this 24th verse. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. Here's a dwelling place with the Father, with me and the Father, in which you can dwell, which I'm preparing for you. When I go and send the Holy Spirit and come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit, I'm making preparation for an abiding place for every one of you in the family of God. That here is an abiding place for us. And I'm concluding that Jesus is not talking about heaven at all. He's not talking about that, and that's run a good funeral sermon that I used to preach about this, and a lot of other men have preached it. You've heard it preached over and over here about the many mansions there and all that, and we sing about the mansions in heaven and all that. And I'm sure that's going to be true. I'm not questioning that. I'm challenging whether or not that's what Jesus is talking about in this chapter. Is that what he's talking about? Or is he talking about a present relationship? That in my Father's family, there are places of fellowship and relationship with him for all of you. And that's what I'm going to prepare when I offer the sacrifice, when I send the Holy Spirit, when I come in the person of the Spirit and you preach the gospel, do my work, you have a place and keep my commandments, you love me, you keep my commandments, then we'll come and take our abode with you. We'll take up one of those dwelling places with you in the family of God. Does that make sense? Makes sense. Think about it. I want you to go, I want you to really study this one. I'm not popping off just off the cuff. I did a lot of study on it before I decided to present it to anybody, to present it to you. I wrote a little short summary of this one a few months ago when the idea first occurred to me. Sent it to one of my friends, told him I didn't want to think of it. He put it in his bulletin. I sent two or three others. They didn't even think enough of it to ask me and tell them whether they thought it any good or not. I'm going to write it a little more in detail than I did to that. See what people think. If they're not so, I want to know it. If it isn't so, but I don't know why. Yeah. The thing that made me come to this is this word here. This word monae used only these two times. An abiding place, and it will abide with you and you with us. That's a place in the house of God with the family of God. There's a dwelling place for all. For you can't prove to save your life that this word, Father's house, here meant a heaven there. Because it can mean heaven, it can mean the temple, and it can mean the family. We're using all those senses there. And down here, this word house also means family and dwelling place, used twice for this, and then over here in 14 and 2, but what is it there? You see, you've got the same possibility of it being one as being the other there, don't you see? Either one. But then when he says, in my Father's house, many abiding places here, if I take that as the family, if I make that the family here, then in the family of God, there are many abiding places. There is an abiding place for every one of you, for every individual, but who's going to abide there? It's this individual, if you love me. He that loveth me, if a man love me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So as an individual keeps his commandments, abides in his word, does all of that, then the Father will love him, and the two will come and will abide together with him. Now, is that what Paul had in mind when in Ephesians 2 and verse about 4, but when he says there, but God being rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up, and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now that's what Paul said he'd done for us. Well, is that the same thing you have here? Here, God made us alive with Christ, raised us up with Christ, made us to sit with him, that is with God, in the heavenly places in Christ. So right now we are sitting with him in this heavenly or spiritual realm, which he's talking about here, spiritual relationship. So this, to me, Paul's statement confirms what I'm presenting here concerning this matter in the 14th chapter of John. Well, I know you're supposed to run off. You have a question you want to ask over just to us here tonight. If you have any questions, I'd like for you to study that, to give that a good study. All right, so here then, that matter of who's greatest in the kingdom that they were fussing about, no such place there for the greatest. There's a place for every one of us. And we studied Romans the 12th chapter last Sunday there, where that one individual has the gift of prophecy, another gift of ministry, and another the gift of teaching, and another the gift of exhortation, another the gift here of liberality, of giving rather, he that giveth unto the liberality, another of comforting individuals and all that. Right? So I don't have the same gift you have. You don't have the same I have. We all have different. Then this harmonizes with Jesus' statement, Matthew 25 there, when he said to the man of the five talents, come thou blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then when the man of the two talents said the same thing, come thou blessed, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So on. So it isn't a matter of how great one is, but how faithful. So the place, there's a place for every one of us, the great and the humble, I don't know whether the great's going to be there or not. I know the proud won't. But the individual here who has the many abilities and the one who don't have one or two, but on the ground of faithfulness, there's a place for every one of us in this abiding place that God's prepared in his family right now. Right now, we enjoy that fellowship with God and Christ in the spiritual realm, and I believe that's what he's talking about. You ever hear that preached before? Any of you? I never heard it either. That's why I'm scared of it. But I believe that that's the truth of the passage. At any rate, that's enough. We're going to leave that with you. Some more in that chapter. But the main point I wanted to get was that which we presented to you tonight from this. And we could talk a long time on it there. Those things he told us to do there. And all that he's going to do that, we're going to abide with you in this. And I believe that what he's talking about is the person who loves God, keeps his commandments, does his will, that the Father said, Jesus said, the Father and I will come and make our abode with him. That is a dwelling place in the family of God for every one of us, along with God and with Christ our Savior. Go and read this chapter over. Think about it. Study. And let me know what you think about later on. Because you're brand new, it's a new thought to me, and that may not be so. I don't know. Maybe the old idea that all he's talking about is heaven may be correct. But why did he use these two words? And use this one word twice in the same chapter with the same context there. This thing got me thinking. All right, that's enough on that. Let's stand together while we sing the song. Good so